My dog is busy howling at the moon outside, so apologies in advance for that. Okay, we've got two preliminary reports to adopt. First is of the Dakar meeting. That's been circulating on the list for quite a while. Does anybody have any comments, any amendments to suggest there? Okay, I think that Alice did a really excellent job of summarising quite a hectic few days meeting, so thank you very much for that. Any objections to adopting that? Okay, so adopted. Let's have a look at the 9th of November conference call. Again, I think Alice circulated this a couple of days ago. I've had a look at it. I think Cathy has as well. And again, very good. Any objections? Any amendments to make? Any objections to adopting it? Okay, so adopted. I think while Michael is, the next item on the agenda is to look at the IDN recommendations. I've been copied in on quite a lot of the correspondence and know that the little group of Michael, Sarmad and Wilfried, particularly Sarmad and Michael, have been working very hard on that. But we'll just, I'll just wait for perhaps, should we wait for Michael to get on the line, because I can see he's requesting a dial-out. So, Alice, would you mind if we just skip to the next topic, which is the letter to compliance? We have had a bit of, I think James made some suggestions on the list, which I think are now incorporated. Has everybody had a chance to have a look at this? I'm not quite sure what to make of that. But, does anybody have any comments to make on the matter?
I just have a question. This is Lynn. Because I have been away for the past couple of months, it's not really clear to me what the purpose is.
Okay. Thanks for the question, and welcome, Luke. I see that you've just joined us as well. What happened, Lynn, is we've been looking at ways to streamline the report, and also we had the opportunity to have a Chatham House rules session with the compliance team, and shared with them some outline, views of where we were going on compliance. And in those discussions, I don't think it's giving any secrets away to say, well, they would welcome that sort of feedback, although we recognise that the level of detail that these comments on compliance are at is probably inappropriate for a report like ours. So what we determined is that we could lift out the more detailed comments and send an open letter to the compliance team, which would be appended to the report. And basically, so that the suggestions in it wouldn't have the force of recommendations, and that we could make more high-level recommendations, which would probably involve some work with compliance, but much less directed. And so that was where we got to, and that's the background for this letter. Does that help?
Okay, so this is intended to be an attachment to our report?
It's going to be an appendix, yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody have any comments?
Emily, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. So I did read the letter a couple of times, actually, and then saw James' comments, but had the chance to get back to it. So when do you think we want to, when would we be sending this letter?
Well, I think that there's no urgency to send it before the report is, you know, the draft report is finalised. I think that we should be aiming to finalise the text of this at the same time as our draft report and sending it at that stage.
Okay.
I'm just simply making that up on the spot. If anybody has any other suggestions for what we could do, I sort of had a hope that because the text of this has been going around for ages. I mean, the real bulk of it was written back in July. So and also we discussed the content quite heavily in Dakar most recently. So I was kind of hoping that we might be able to sign it off on this call, but I know that you and many others on the team have been working very hard on other sections in the last 2 weeks. So if you'd like more time, happy to do that.
Personally, if you could give me till next Wednesday, I would love that.
Great.
I mean, because we're heading into the holiday, but also I just feel like I've got so much unfinished work for the team that but I could commit by next Wednesday to give you comments on this.
Okay.
And I think it's in relatively really good shape. At first blush, I don't think I would have anything major to add to this or I'm having a problem with, but I would just like a chance to review it one more time.
Yeah. Appreciate that. I'm sure that there are others in this, exactly the same position, Susan. So what about we get all comments in by next Wednesday, which is just a reminder when we've said we will be publishing the draft report. So let's finalise both at the same time. Okay. Any immediate comments? Or shall we move on? Michael, are you now, have you got connected?
Frankly, the connection is very, very weak, but I try to hear and to listen and to identify what we are talking about.
Okay. Michael, as we don't have Sarmad on the call, would you be able to take us through the IDN recommendations and text or not?
Yes, I know it is.
So just a reminder while Michael gets his bearings, we looked at the text last week or last call and we tasked that small group of people to draw out some recommendations from the text, which I think most people were very happy with. So, Michael, perhaps you could just take us through the recommendations.
Okay, so the text, which was mostly developed by Dr. Sarmad and was supported by us, and finally, most likely, redrafted by Emily, is exactly what can now be seen on the screen. And what we finally recommend is as follows. So the suggestions on IBM is, I think, a very good compromise. And by now, given that we don't have too much information for any final decision, we suggest to create a working group to do what is still an open issue. And this is exactly what constitutes the recommendation number one. Of course, it was, for example, my greatest desire to prepare certain policy which could or should be unified for both VTLDs and CCTLDs. And of course, given the legal reality of IT system, we can only just prepare any kind of decision for the refugee, and as it is written here, for typical space on the voluntary basis. The second recommendation is on the fixation of the final ideas and final models and services, incorporation of them into the registrar agreement. Again, the proposed deadline is 6 months. And some just reservation in case if such things is not done in 6 months. As for the third recommendation, it's the requirement to be, or maybe the proposal for unifying the situation with the local languages and ASCII formats. And here the deadline is missing. And in my opinion, any such kind of work or recommendation should be finalized within the next calendar year, because we expect a lot of new GTLDs, new IDMs, and of course, as soon as we understand how the overall approach is unified and acceptable for everyone, not making internet fragmented, etc., we should do it as soon as possible. So very briefly, it's like that. I would say that I fully, I'm happy with such recommendations. Maybe I would like to make them much more precise, but again, even the desire to make it as something which reflects the consensus between the sub-working group and our working group overall, I think this is the best what can be formulated by now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. I think that, so thank you for taking us through the recommendations. And as you say, the line wasn't the clearest, but do any members of the team have any questions or want to make any comments on these recommendations?
This is Lynn. I would just like to thank Michael and Sarmad for working on this.
Yeah, I think that's it's a very good piece of work.
Susan,
you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just I'm interested, especially in the first recommendation, the ICANN community should within 6 months, because we're struggling with who we should sort of designate as the point in ICANN, what group or community within ICANN for our recommendations.
Yeah.
And so the discussion keeps coming up with, it has to be a TDP. So, and to be honest, I do not get when it's a PDP or not unless it says CDP. So would this, the first recommendation, fall within the category of a PDP? Or are they doing something a little bit out of what we've been directed?
That's a very good question. Does anybody know the answer to that?
Dear colleagues, I would love to have a clear answer to this question, but I don't. And it was also in our discussions that we haven't found anything that would clarify the situation with all the attempts which we did. So I don't see all of here in our conversation, but maybe Emily, you can just help us.
Unless Kathy, you've got your hand up. Do you know the answer to this question?
No, I have another question, of course. No, I definitely don't know the answer. So it's a very good question, though, and I had a similar question.
I mean, it's a real point that I can see. Well, Susan, you mentioned that you and James have been discussing. James just raised it on the list. I just don't know who the right people to task and the right instruments are.
Well, I can't step. I mean, Denise keeps coming back and clarifying, and maybe in this example we could understand a little bit more. So maybe this is something we test that I can't step come back to us with.
Alice, can you take that that action and clarify, probably not just for this, but for all of the recommendations where we're asking people to do things, can we have some suggestions from Denise or someone else on ICANN staff what the most effective way of getting these implemented is? And equally, people within the team who have more, you know, who understand the processes a bit more than some of us do, please do chip in as well.
Okay. Well, this is Lynn. I mean, maybe I just have missed something, but I mean, I understood that our recommendations as an AOC review team go to the ICANN board and that they're compelled to act on our recommendations.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my expectation is that's for them to figure out. Not for us to figure out.
Yeah,
I would agree with that, Lynn. This is Susan again. But there, I don't know if you followed the discussion on the thread this week about PDPs and what we can do and what we can't.
I tried to, and it's very confusing because I thought PDPs were like for some major policy change or new policy.
Well,
that was my understanding of PDPs.
Yeah, and maybe this is the approach that we should take. That we are addressing the board, and it's actually up to them to figure out who to task to do what. And we could just try to. But what we do need to do is to make sure that we review the wording of the recommendations to make sure that we're just not if we're going to take the view of let's not be specific then and let the board figure out who should do what.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way I understood James's comments is that might potentially carry a risk that nobody decides to decide who should do it. But equally, I think if we task the wrong people, then A, we're going to look stupid, and B, it won't work anyway.
From the very beginning, it was my understanding that this whole AOC review process is supposed to carry a lot of weight, and that it's not optional for ICANN to, disregard any recommendations, and that's why we're being so careful in the recommendations we make, because whatever we do, they are going to have to act on it. I think our recommendations have to be actionable, and they have to be specific enough. But anyway, that's just my view.
Kathy, you've been waiting to come in, and I can see that you've been making some points on the chat, which are very welcome.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw it, and I have a different question. I have a question about recommendation three. But I actually like these recommendations. They're coming from some of the most experienced members in the community who've been working on this issue now for years, Sarmad and Michael and Wilfried. So there's something to me that actually rang true about going ahead and calling for a working group to be set up to finalize. If that's where everybody thinks that that the most experienced members of our group in this area think that the ball is on this issue, if we're ready to go to a working group, if they're ready to finalize after all these years, if they think that that's where it is now, is putting everybody around the table and telling them to close it and fix it, finish it. I think it might provide, in this particular case, not with all things, but in this particular case, it might provide some useful guidance to the board, actually.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. I think this isn't a particularly contentious one, and I agree. I'm personally comfortable with leaving it. as it is, but I think Susan raises a very valid wider point that we need to just be aware of. Do you want to go ahead and make your comment relating to the third recommendation, Kathy?
Sure. Just on the first recommendation, you guys will see, I'll put it through. Just on scanning it, and Michael, I'll just tell you why I'm doing it. I thought that it said within 6 months of publication of this report, they have to, you know, the ICANN community has to finish everything. I kind of missed when I read it the first few times, I missed the forming the working group. So I'm going to kind of rearrange the words so that other people don't gasp the way I did and see that they have to think they have to solve all this within 6 months. Okay, recommendation three. Here, Michael, I wanted to ask you about this. Requirements for registration data accuracy and availability in local languages should be finalized by a certain date. Michael, are we talking about requirements for data accuracy and availability consistent with the recommendations of this report that are recommendations for ASCII, or is this a different type of requirement for accuracy and availability? Is this a translation requirement that we're talking about, or the accuracy of the data that we're talking about in other places?
Of course, first of all, it should be the full compliance with the recommendation of our working group. And as for accuracy in terms of either transcription or translation, transliteration, which is still an open question, it is mostly about the accuracy of transforming the local languages and local scripts into ASCII format. Maybe it's not well formulated, the wording is not very clear. However, if you have any suggestions how to make it less ambiguous, it would be great. But for me, for example, of course, the main idea was to be sure that everything which is developed and recommended by our working group for the WHOIS policy in general should also be implemented and be available in local languages. So the results of our working group is the first priority.
Emily, can I follow up?
Yes, please do.
Michael, so based on what you just said, which was very, very helpful, thank you, we're really talking about, when it says requirements for registration data accuracy, we're really talking about requirements for the accurateness of the data transcription and translation.
You see, if the data is represented in the local languages, there is no issue for any transcription or transliteration or et cetera, because it's done on the local language and it is not either translated or transcripted. The issue appears only if we introduce, and I think we should, the requirement of making this information also available in ASCII codes for a certain amount of information. So in this case, of course, there should be some rules how such accuracy should be guaranteed, that such information, again, it should be short, it should not be just very in detail, but it should be, it should be translated from a non-writing script into ASCII codes without any ambiguity, and everyone should understand how this process works without asking any further questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
And the problem is that, I can explain you how it can and it will be arranged in Russian. It's not a very difficult task because our scripts, they are similar in principles how they represent the sounds of our languages. But unfortunately, for me, it's a full miracle how it can work for the Chinese script, because it will be totally different in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Kathy, I think that's a very well spotted that, because it is slightly ambiguous given that how much we talk about accuracy and availability in general. So, Kathy, would you be able to work with Sarmad and with Michael to try to just tighten that little bit, and also to figure out what we should put in by the deadline, for the deadlines?
I would be happy to learn from Sarmad and Michael more about this area and try to try to put it into crazy legal recommendation language.
Cool.
Sure.
That would
happy
be great.
To.
Thank you very much.
Emily, this is Bill.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hi. If I could, just one comment on recommendation one, and that is, I would hate for this recommendation to come across as if we are suggesting that the ICANN community develop a new encoding scheme. So I think it would be good if we could instruct the, whether it's the working group or whatever, to use existing mechanisms where possible. Otherwise, this will take, my concern is, as an example, if they try to reinvent Unicode,
sure,
this will take decades.
Yeah. Okay. Again, if you've got, I think if Michael, Kathy, representing those people, you take on board Bill's comment, which I think is again very valid. If you could just have a look at recommendation number one, I don't think you are advocating that, but it probably should be clear that you're not.
Exactly. I don't think anybody is, but it's
some
wording
it
to say.
Awful if that's what we kicked off by mistake.
Right. Basically, that there are that mechanisms exist, and this community needs to use them.
Okay, Michael, is that clear? Kathy?
Yes, of course.
Great, that's great. Well, I think, are there any more comments on this paper and the recommendations? I would just like to say, as Lynn did at the beginning of this, thank you very much, Sarmad, Michael, particularly for your work in developing this text. You've done a really excellent job, and I know that there's been a lot of back and forth on it, so that's set us up. This has been a section that we've all agreed should be there for nearly a year, and it's very good to see it now on paper with three recommendations. If you, with Kathy's assistance, just very, very minor tweaks, really to make the meaning clearer and to avoid ambiguity, then I think that's in very good shape for next week. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda, and I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this by phone, but last call, I offered to go through the text and suggest some fairly swinging cuts, particularly in the early sections. I have circulated some suggestions to the list over the last couple of weeks. Assuming that people have had a look at what I've been suggesting, I haven't had any massive outcries about the stuff that we've suggested losing, and have dealt, tried to go one-to-one with the authors of the relevant sections where appropriate. So does anybody have any comments or any requests to get some stuff back in or more stuff to lose? Anyone want to say anything?
Emily, it's Sharon here.
Hi, Sharon.
Say that I haven't had time. I'm terribly sorry to everybody. I know you've all been busy, but I've been a bit busy operationally. I haven't had time to have a look, but I have a day aside next week to go through all of the emails, of which there are hundreds, to sort of bring myself up to speed and look through it. Are there any deadlines or any areas in which you would want me to focus?
Well, I think the main thing, Sharon, is that we're aiming to publish the draft report by next Wednesday, which is the end of next Wednesday. We've got that. I think actually it would be ideal if I could task you to read through the report in its latest form from start to finish, because in a way you've now got a bit of distance from it. You're not particularly immersed in any one section. So you can read it and just give me some feedback, give all of us some feedback about whether it flows, whether it's possible to figure out where we're going, and any proposals you've got for text changes. I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, I'll certainly do that. I'd love to do that. Thank you.
Is this, Emily, the document called the Clean Draft Report of November 21st?
Yes, it is. Although I would hasten to say, Lynn, I think that I'm not completely confident that I and Alice have got our version control completely sorted, which isn't surprising as there's so many drafts now.
Okay.
And it is a complete mess. Alice is saying on the chat she can't upload it onto the Adobe. Now there are so many comments and so many pages on it that it's actually crashing my machine as I'm working on it, so we need to figure out what to do. But if you could, really all members of the team now, with 1 week to go, I'm so, so pleased with where we've got to in the last couple of weeks. I think that we really are on track. So if everybody could spend some time, maybe a couple of hours, to just go through the report and read it for sense. Susan, you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
So, Emily, I have read it several times, and I want to applaud you for taking such a whack at it, first of all, and you could tell there's a hell of a lot of work, and I really appreciate that. I have a working document that I'm now going through the second time because my computer crashed and I lost all my comments. So,
been there.
Yes, I'm sure you have. So hopefully I am working on the correct version. But how do you want, if we just send these all to the list, I think we're going to, it'll be pandemonium.
Yeah.
So how, I just from a mechanical aspect, how do we want to do this?
Do you know, I'm not sure at all. I really welcome suggestions. Kathy, do you have a suggestion on that? I can see you've got your hand up. And Susan, if you've got any ideas, please.
Let me think about that. I actually had a different, I was in the queue for a different thought.
Okay. What we did with the issues paper when it was starting to get quite close to finalisation was Alice held the pen. Alice, do you think that might work?
Emily, I'm happy to hold the pen, no problem at all, but it's just the comments. I think we should decide what you want to do with the comments.
I think take out the comments just now. Keep them in, we can have a marked up version.
Okay.
And they're a pain, aren't they? Is there any way of just putting all the comments into, I don't know.
Well, what I can do is a compilation of all the comments and the contentious sections of the report, and then maybe we can, reach agreement on those.
That's probably a good idea.
Well, one thing that can help is if we just agree amongst ourselves that instead of making edits, on the document, that we'll put comments in the margins.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll keep it cleaner.
Yeah. Okay. Kathy, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah. I think now we have a clean version of it. I wonder if we shouldn't start putting edits in the document, but in some way that we can track who it is that's putting them in. So to actually see, I get confused as I read through lots and lots of comments, because comments have, for lack of a better word, a lot of rhetoric, people explaining what their positions are versus actual wording, which is normally what I'm looking for, what exactly do people want. So one way that we've done it in the past, not in this group, but in other groups, is for somebody to put in brackets, even pick a color, it's not something track changes doesn't, sometimes track changes does it for you, sometimes it doesn't, but actually put in brackets and say, you know, use our initials, KK, colon, and then say what the text is that we would add.
Do you know, or take a point. That just really work. I'm finding track changes now so confusing. That maybe Alice, why don't you just produce a clean copy, and people who've made comments, I've made copious comments, have a responsibility to make sure that if they're proposing text in that they put that into the next version, rather than making everybody go back and forth and look at their comments. How about we do,
Emily, let me ask that the commented version that's up there, I've read some parts of it in great detail, but not all of it. We're going to keep the clean version now. That'll stay up.
Yeah, let's work on the clean version. But obviously the hodgepodge full of comments, complete mess version will also be there as a reference too, won't it? It won't disappear. But let's now work on the clean version. If you personally find that you've made comments and they aren't there, then do text amendments as you've suggested, Kathy. Let's not use track changes now. Let's just go in with name in brackets and a colour or something to highlight that this is new text. I think that's probably going to save all our machines from crashing.
And if somebody wants to delete or rearrange, just put in brackets, put the whole thing in. It'll be easy for us to compare if, you know, there's existing paragraph and then you put, you know, three new lines in right underneath it. But I do have another question.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so, I hate to do it.
Before you go on, Kathy, I think that should we just adopt that mode of working?
Yes, and this is Lynn. I would add one more suggestion. It could help us if we agree to first just focus on substantive revisions, and then once everyone has agreed on just the substantive changes, then hold what I would call more just pure administrative edits to the end. And administrative edits would be grammatical, spelling, formatting, you know, that type thing.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, Alice, but there's one typo in there that is intestinally instead of
intestinal. I know. So it's my favorite. I just love that. I love it.
Sorry, can I ask Sharon here?
Yes.
I'm still not clear what I'm meant to be doing. So we're going to look through a document, and we've got a team of people who are going to look at this. And you want comments with my initial, or would it be useful just to have another document that someone pulling it all together? Because if I'm putting my comments, and the other 12 people are all putting their comments, I don't know whose comments I'm putting on top of what.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Yeah. But what worked very well last time was Alice holding the pen, and so let's have a bit of order here, guys, because Kathy was actually in the middle of making a different point, and we all just moved on. So, Kathy, please go.
I'll stay in the queue. I just wanted to remind. I mean, we can work this one out. This one out first. I'm just with Alice holding. If there's still areas that we're not certain about. Actually, you know what? Let me make my suggestion, and then maybe we can talk about editing. My suggestion was, and everybody take a big breath because I'm not happy to make it, I don't think we're going to be done by next Wednesday. I think there's still new text that's being generated. And I think really, really good work is taking place. And since I'm part of the new text, a small part of it, Susan and James are doing a lot of it on the, doing the vast, vast majority on the proxy privacy. But it's really hard to go into final edits until we know what final text is. Or even what final recommendations are. So I wanted to put on the table a slightly different idea, which is that all major text be put in by next Wednesday. and that means I have to work with Peter, and, you know, I don't want to commit him to something, but, you know, we do have a deadline. But in terms of coordinating the gap analysis and the policy chapter and all of that, that's it. It's all got to be done by Wednesday. All major tech in by Wednesday. Done. And then we have 2 weeks after that to finalize. I'm going to throw that out on the table because I don't think we're going to be there by next Wednesday.
I agree with you, Kathy. And I think we do need a stopping point. And I feel like I have muddied the waters a lot in the last 2 weeks. But things are starting to coalesce. And you are a big part of a lot of the discussions going on. So, you know, if we can say, okay, by next Wednesday, we have to have all of the major language in, I would agree to that. It's going to kill me, but I'll agree to it.
I don't want to kill you, Susan, because who else would write all these new sections?
Yeah.
Well,
no. You've been doing an amazing, amazing job. You're on the front burner of everything, as are so many other people here. Everything, you know, there's just great stuff being produced now, guys. I appreciate it. I'm watching with awe as this all coalesces. It's great.
Any other reactions to Kathy's suggestion? So Susan's in support.
This is Lynn. Instead of a deadline of Wednesday, would it help just to extend it a few days until Monday the 5th or Sunday the 4th of December, just to give a little bit of breathing room there?
I guess I'm kind of in the opposite frame of mind, in that I think that we're going to struggle with any deadline.
Okay.
We're going to always want more time, so I think that we should just go for it and try and do it by the 30th. I know I do take on board what you say, Kathy, but I think we can do this, and I think we're always going to feel that we've got much more to do than we have got time available. I know that this is something that the ATRT had as well, and several people connected with the ATRT warned me that the pressure as we get close to the deadline to just push it back and push it back will be immense.
Mm.
And eventually we have to commit ourselves and get it out there. This is the deadline that we've committed ourselves to for a year. So I am not prepared, personally, I'm not prepared at this stage to push it back without a really strong reason. I'm always willing to be talked out of things, though. But does anybody who hasn't spoken have a view?
I'm willing to sign up for that. This is Lynn. I mean, it's certainly not a surprise. You're right. November 30th has been our goal from the very beginning.
And, you know, and just looking at the way that we have upped our work rate in the last couple of weeks, I've been so impressed by the work that everybody's done in the last couple of weeks. I think that we can do this. I really do. The main thing is that we agree. You know, we've yet to discuss the proxy, the new sort of text that's come from Susan and James. I accept what Kathy says about a more polished version. Now, what I can do is spend the time between now and next week working as an editor rather than as a generator of text, so my focus, rather than being on the individual sections, can be on pulling it together. And I think working in that way, we can do this. And I would certainly like to give it a really good shot.
Front row for that, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon. Should we leave it like that for now? And just because personally, I would rather feel that we're all working like crazy until the end of this month and then done, than it dragging on, because I can absolutely guarantee that if we give ourselves two more weeks, we will all do nothing for the first of those weeks and then have exactly the same situation again. So
this is Susan, and you know, and this is totally personal, and and I will commit to Wednesday to the best of my ability, but if it wasn't Thanksgiving and it wasn't the first holiday that my daughter has been away, you know, she's coming back from school. So I can't do anything from 8 o'clock tonight until Saturday night.
Well, I mean, that's completely understood, Susan. You know, you've been doing a lot on this in the last few days, and other people have had other commitments too. So we can't just, you know, we all have to accept that working as volunteers, as we do, that other commitments, holidays and work schedules do, you know, they intervene. We have to balance this. So that's absolutely understood. But let's do our best, Dave.
People on Sunday, just understand why there's been a delay in, you know, in getting more out. So, because I think we still have, and I can't see us doing this completely on the thread, though I'm not sure that we can all commit to another phone call either. I mean, James and I have gotten through a lot, and Kathy, we did not intend to, like, keep you out of it. It's just trying to balance schedules, and we would, James and I have had amazing conversations, two amazing conversations in the last week, and at least amazing to me. He may have found them boring. I have no idea. But so, you know, I think if people are also willing to sort of jump on the phone at the spur of the moment to discuss some of these things, I think that could help just push this through.
Okay. Well, with that, Susan, that's a nice link into the proxy and privacy or the proxy language that you and James have been developing. Would you like to can we leave this conversation now? I think that we at least know where we're going until the 30th, and so let's just keep going. I know it's Thanksgiving, but we'll just keep going and do what we can. I think that we really have broken the back of this now and that we can do it. I'm confident.
Okay.
So,
I'll try really hard.
Susan, can I ask you to take us through the work that you've been doing with James, and thank you so much for doing that, and Kathy, of course.
So I don't know if Alice has the document I just sent, and I apologize that, you know, I didn't give you more than half hour to review before the meeting. You have it up. So we've had really intense discussions, and I know that we all agreed in Dakar to say we're not going to acknowledge, ICANN should not acknowledge proxies, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought we had the responsibility to. And there's definitely a connection for a large amount of proxy service providers between the registrar and the proxy provider. And there's also a lot of confusion around that. So, you know, James and I sent out that first really rough recommendation, and James and Kathy both came back to me with comments. Or I guess I just sent it to James to start just because I thought it was so rough. And then in our discussions between James and I, we came to the realization that we really need to define terms. So, you know, and if you read the NORC study, they use proxy/privacy. They don't define them as far as I could see, and they also just sort of use them almost as one term, proxy-privacy. Or privacy proxy. I'm not sure I've got that, how they use it exactly right. So I was wondering where we came up with in the report the two definitions that are currently there. Does anybody know that?
Do you know what, Susan? I was just thinking that I'm sure that I read some definitions in the NORC. You know, they did two studies. They did one on actual proxy privacy. Is that the one that you've been looking at?
I may have.
They did explain the differences. Shall I see if I can find that?
That would be good.
I'll do that.
One of them. And so did we pull the... I thought I had it here sitting with me, but maybe I don't. So did we pull... Because I just reread, I don't know how many times I've read this report, the January 2010, and I am not seeing a definition in that one.
Oh, you're probably right. I just, I'll see if I can find one. I actually thought that the definitions that you'd come up with were fine.
So, but I don't know who came up with the privacy proxy service definitions in our report. And... because I think they need a little clarification or at least an example of each, because I sat in the MDR meeting and argued stringently for 2 hours and then realized we were only talking about privacy services. And I feel like I know this stuff, you know? So if I'm that clueless, and maybe I'm just that clueless, but I think if we don't really define this, that we're going to end up, people aren't going to understand what we're talking about. So I don't know if anybody has any you know, concern with a clarification of these two definitions. So I don't have language to propose. They wouldn't be changed a whole lot, but a little bit of clarification there. And then James and I were talking about it, because in my first draft of, you know, of the proxy, if you just sort of scroll down, the proxy recommendation, a registrar that owns or manages a subsidiary that provides a proxy service or enters into a partnership, and I, you know, I sort of, it's very long-winded. But we really discussed that paragraph and how ICANN could have some control over a service that a third party is providing, that third party is controlled by a registrar. And so he pulled out the affiliate registrar language in the RAA, which is 1.20, what affiliated registrar is. And then I came up with, you know, the affiliate retail proxy service provider definition, and then realized, well, we need to define what is a retail proxy service provider, because what we can't do is get into or create the confusion that every proxy service is going to be in some ways have a long arm control by ICANN. So James came up with the term retail in connection with what he feels like the domains by proxy is a retail service proxy service provider, but a limited proxy service provider is something we chose, is could be more like a law firm or a relationship with a registrar that has a proxy service relationship with a client, a high-value client, and has a negotiated agreement or has more contractual agreements in place than the simple, you know, retail proxy service provider that requires the registrant to agree to the general terms and conditions and pay. You know, I mean, it's just a sort of a simple relationship there. So we need to decide if we can all agree on these definitions, and then I think we need to rewrite some of these, some of this recommendation. But and Kathy has your comment to me about this looks like more like policy. I agree, but I think there's a middle ground somewhere that we can reword this recommendation and do some good work and provide a recommendation that ICANN can live with. So does that make any sense at all? Because I feel like I'm rambling.
No, that is really great, Susan. And the this is, to me personally, I think this is a tremendously exciting development since Dakar. So thank you. You know, you and James and Kathy were tasked with coming up with some wording. I really didn't imagine that you would have got so far in such a short time. So thank you very much. Lynn, you wanted to make a comment. Please go ahead.
Yes, I first of all, I do like these definitions, and I do think that this section is very helpful in our overall charter to evaluate the current WHO is policy, because there has been a lot of confusion and a lot of debate about whether or not these types of services are legitimate or not. And I think having these definitions, even if it's just definitions that we establish ourselves, helps to clarify that for the whole ICANN community. So that when people use these terms, then we all at least have a level set of what is meant by it. But I do think that somewhere on here, to be consistent with the AOC, it would be good to add something to reference that that these services are not intended to restrict the access, because the language in the AOC does say unrestricted public access. And so not revealing the identity of the true owner on the who is domain registrant is not the same as restricting access, or there just needs to be something said about that. That the intention here is that a legitimate service would not, be retained for the purpose of just, blocking access to who owns a particular domain.
Okay, that's a good recommendation.
Okay, you've noted that, have you?
Yeah, I'm typing.
Yeah, and I can see Lutz agrees. Kathy, your question, can we really make that call, I think, is as I understand your comment, Lynn, it's not to say that proxy or privacy services are not legitimate, but where they are not revealing the underlying data in a timely way, then that goes against the principle of availability, which we do carry through.
Yeah.
Am I understanding that?
Yes, thank you, Emily. That's much better said.
I think then the rest of the document, this document, flows from that, because it then goes on to stipulate the sort of time limits that reveal would take place in, and that it should happen. So I think this is very helpful. Susan, what would you like now to do apart from eat turkey?
I really want to hug my daughter. It's really what I want
yes,
to do.
Yes, oh. Okay, well, we're not going to be that long here.
No, she's not. She's on her way home. She's not going to be here till 9 o'clock tonight. I'm teasing.
Okay.
So I would like the chance to just go through this one more time and then to send to James and Kathy, and then, Kathy, if you have time next week, maybe we can, the three of us can get on a phone call and then deliver it to the group Monday evening.
Fantastic.
Would that work? And Kathy, does that work for you? Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Yes.
Definitely. Thanks. Definitely.
Okay, great.
Okay, I think this might be you again, Susan. Where do we get to on FixIn or repository of who is this? Again, Lutz, this might be something for you as well. I, frankly, have lost track of where we're where we're getting to on this. I did sense that there was every time Lutz mentions the idea of a repository for Thick Who Is data, I think everybody's quite comfortable with that. Mandating that one of the downstream providers or the .com registry would be that provider seems to make some people uncomfortable. So I'm not sure where we've got to on that. Can anybody enlighten?
So this is Susan again. I'll take the first stab at it, at least.
Thanks.
So I am not uncomfortable with Lutz's ICANN central repository, and I think that might be more livable for a lot of the registrars. Mm. I just think we have a dire need for a central repository. So, and unfortunately, Lutz, I have not reviewed your language again, and I should. I've just been a little busy. So, and you sent me that, Emily. So, were people in agreement? I don't know that we, because I missed the last call. Were people in agreement to Les's proposal or recommendation?
Well, I've got Kathy and Lutz in the queue, so maybe we can learn. Kathy, please go ahead.
I think we're making policy. I think this is the essence of policy. I think we know a lot of the problems, and I think we should identify them. Findability is a problem. The links between SIN and Thick Who Is, the links between some of the links when we studied them, when we saw some of the user insight materials, it looked like people were having problems on some of the SIN Who Is materials. Recently, I've been using VeriSign and finding that the links are accurate. You know, I've been properly given the right links to the registrars, and then I've been finding the data because I've purposely been doing it the long way. So I'm reluctant. I'm reluctant, guys, to tell the ICANN community the perfect fix on this because there is the policy development process going on, talking about Thick Who Is, and I think we should encourage that process to go forward rather than inserting our own solution.
Thank you. Lutz?
I'd just like to mention that I do not propose a central repository, but a centralized access to any repository so that we can overcome the issues from the insight report that nobody is able to access to our services.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Yeah. So you're basically saying you want an ability to query the entire thing.
It's so that we can circumvent the write limits. Bill has mentioned that we have a centralized access point who has to deal with all the contract information on access rights, who has the ability to access database on which behalf who is responsible for should be done on ICANN level and has nothing to do with policy.
Mm. Yeah, I must say I'm a bit struggling, Kathy, to understand how this might be making policy. I'm very obviously we are all on board with the idea that we don't make policy. So could you just help us out with the why it's making the policy to do what Lutz is suggesting, which is an access to just the Who Is in one place so that it's easier for consumers?
I'm re-understanding Lutz's point now. That wasn't how I read it, although, Lutz, I appreciate you're spending all the time, you know, putting this together. So the idea is every time I ask the question, it's more about the implementation, but we're telling ICANN how to solve the findability problem. Is that it?
It's about the problem that somebody has to have the unlimited access as required by the AOC. And currently, most of the WHO services has limited access. It's not possible to see all the data, and it's not possible to catch all the data from the repository. The only place where such an the main problem is that most of the people didn't know which WHO server is to query for. But this information is available at ICANN. It's available at IANA, whoisiana.org, provides information from a FinWHO standpoint. But it doesn't matter if we are using Fin or Thick or something else of WHO services. What we need is an easy-to-use and easy-to-understand centralized interface to access the data. Mm. And I think it should be done by ICANN.
Yeah, but in a way, if there's... I think that those words that you just used now, Lutz, really capture the idea perfectly. The idea of, which I can't now repeat. <it's>
Sounded great, though.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Listen back to the recording, and if you could...
Let me add another point. So yeah. It doesn't matter if we are proposing a thick WHOIS approach or thin WHOIS approach or no WHOIS approach at all. It's all covered by a web interface run by some magical wizards at ICANN staff level. Nobody has to know the details.
Yeah. I mean, could we try to work it up? Look, can I ask you to take another look at your text?
Yes, of course.
What we've just discussed. And maybe to see whether we can make it more generalized or suggest it might be ICANN who provides it or nominate somebody, a suitable provider. But it's just literally that, you know, that I think the magic terms are about interface and that it's easy to use and that a user can locate all of the information relating to a domain name just through a single query.
Yeah, of course.
And so if you could just develop the language a bit more and circulate that, then we can all take another look at it. Kathy in particular, I'm sure James will be very interested in this as well, can review it and to see whether that still causes discomfort, and then we can revisit. Lynn, go ahead, please.
Yes, and I do feel that this section has linkage with the consumer trust because in the consumer trust research, it was seen, you know, not only is there low awareness, but it's very difficult for somebody, even once they are aware, to access WHOIS information. So I think there's some linkage there that we can coordinate.
That's a great point. Thank you. And actually, I think if we're ready to move on, does anybody want to make any further comments? Maybe that can just bring us into the consumer research, because I'm going to skip the policy section because it hasn't appeared yet. But could we just request again that we can have the text as soon as possible on the policy section, and then
with the great apologies, we will finally finish the policy material.
Thank you, Kathy. I know that several people have been very busy over the last couple of weeks on this review team, and that you have been one of those. So thank you very much. So let's take a look at the consumer research text, and thanks to Lynn, Seth, and Susan for your work on this. I think this is really looking very strong now.
Well, Susan really did the heavy lifting, and so we need to...
You've got the power at the moment. You're just going for it.
We need to acknowledge that, Susan. And
I think that in your point in an email to me about, you know, refining the draft, you know, every draft needs lots of refining, and you and Seth have really wordsmithed it, so.
Well, Emily, if I can just jump in here and say that I think the most difficult predicament here is that all year long we have had a definition of consumers that was very broad, and then somehow in Dakar it has been narrowed and changed. And the predicament is that when we look at the AOC on section 9.3.1, it specifically is referring to public access to accurate and complete who is information. And so to me, that is contradictory to this definition that we're now trying to state, which would somewhat limit the definition of consumer. And then when we, you know, add to it paragraph 4 of the AOC, where we go into the fact that, you know, it's acknowledged that there's a broader community here than just those involved in the ICANN processes, then I think that's even further indication that the intent here, when the AOC is talking about consumers, they're talking about, you know, a much broader group of people. And so my apprehension is that if we have a more limited definition and we limit it to people who are just aware of who is and know something about it, then that's really not consistent with the AOC. I think the point we need to bring out is the potential value to consumers of who is, and that ICANN, one of our recommendations should be that ICANN should have a awareness program. They should have some kind of communication program for consumers that promotes who is and explains what it is and how to find it and how it works.
Thank you very much for raising that point. I think that that's certainly looking at it in the from my own personal perspective. That's a very interesting point that you're raising, and perhaps we can think. Unless anybody else wants to jump in and make a comment, may I make a comment? Just that maybe we could change. I think I feel a sense of responsibility because I expect I'm partly to blame for this.
Okay.
Consumers of who is. And perhaps maybe instead of talking about consumers of who is, we could talk about professional users of who is or users of who is. Or that I think that in my mind I've got the concept of consumer trust, which is where the public at large come in. And I do agree with you, Lynn, that the, you know, just because consumers don't know about and don't use who is doesn't mean that they shouldn't, and that it shouldn't be an aspiration for ICANN and this community, that people in general should be using this more.
Well, and I really think that the U.S. Department of Commerce, that was actually their intention. That's what's implied to me in that document, is that they are believing that it's of public interest.
Well, and that maybe we could explore these ideas in the text in this way, in that,
you know, what I think that there is a value in saying, actually, consumers at the moment aren't using who is very much.
Mm-hmm.
There is a different group of people who are using and relying on who is, and they tend to be doing it in a professional way. That's the wrong word, but it's part of their job.
Yeah, it's people who are close to the
yeah.
registrar kind of business,
yeah,
or they're somehow
or
tied
or
to that.
Enforcement, or it's trademarking.
Right.
You know, they're doing it as part of their job, and they're sort of, it doesn't have to be too pretty for them. They could be doing it on port 43, and they'd be perfectly happy.
Yes.
So
I think there is some value. We certainly don't need to call them consumers of who is, but I think that we should identify that group as the people who are really
driving the volumes at the moment and really reliant on this.
Well, can I just point, Emily?
Yeah, go. Yes.
About law enforcement, it's mentioned a lot. I would say that about 99% of law enforcement internationally wouldn't know what WHO is. And the significance of this is the 1% who do are those people who are involved in criminal justice outcomes against cyber criminals. As more and more businesses go online, it's going to become more and more important for law enforcement to know about all of how the internet works. So the demand is going to get much greater. So I just think we need to recognise the report, and I will put this in my bit of it, that the scale at the moment of law enforcement interest is quite small, but it's going to actually grow exponentially, so it needs to be quite a readily available resource for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Sharon, that ties back to the suggestion that one of our recommendations should be that ICANN needs a public communication awareness program to explain and promote WHO is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even for the domain registrants themselves, the research is showing that regardless of the registrars doing their privacy notices, a significant number of them actually were unaware that their contact details are published in WHO is and technically available on the internet.
Lutz, did you want to make a comment?
A very short one. Law enforcement and WHO is a very difficult issue. We have learned in London that WHO services do not help in any case if we have serious organized crime. On the other hand, if we have low-level crime, in most cases, law enforcement agencies are not allowed to use external resources that easily. So I would propose to step away from educating law enforcement to use WHO services. It would be a very difficult issue, and I would propose to abstain from such a proposal.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Lutz, that I'm not suggesting there should be a education program specifically for law enforcement, but I'm just saying a general education program for the public. And I think Sharon's point is that law enforcement would benefit from that as well, that just having public information about it.
Okay. Can we take this forward by just making the differentiation between consumers and the people who are currently using WHO is in their professional capacity?
How about if I give some thought to a term for that group, Emily?
Yeah. And I just don't see, I think if we do that, if we just recognize that and also recognize that because consumers aren't aware or aren't using, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be aware and shouldn't be using, that shouldn't be an aspiration. And maybe you could just have a look at it with those things in mind. I think that it's very close now, that text.
Okay. I think the other part that we're struggling with here, our sub-team, is that the research report itself has some ambiguity and some confusion about, on one hand, the quantitative survey indicates that a large percentage of people were able to locate and identify the domain name registrant. But then on the other hand, they're indicating, that the majority of them, have this low awareness of WHO is. Now, in my mind, the way I reconcile that, and I'm just saying this calls for some interpretation, is that what I observed, I went and observed three or four of the in-person interviews, and then I looked at the videos, and what was happening is when people went into Google or any other search engine, they didn't put the term who is, but they put in phrases like owner of URL or domain name owner. You know, they put in phrases like that, and when they put that into search engines, that inevitably produced in the search engine results various who is pages. And it typically was not at the top, but they would eventually get to a who is page, but they didn't have a top of mind awareness that's where they were finding the information. But ultimately, that's where they were finding the information. You know, it's not where it's published somewhere else. They're just using different techniques to get to it without knowing the term or the name who is. Does that make sense? And I guess I'm just asking feedback from the rest of the review team.
Does anybody want to give feedback?
I will, Sharon. That makes perfect sense to me, actually. I do think that somebody trying to find the owner of a domain wouldn't automatically go to who is. They'd go to who owns it. So I'd find that research quite what I would expect.
I agree with what Sharon says too, Lynn. I think that if we are making that interpretation or that interpolation, then just make it clear in the text.
Okay. I think that's the challenge, is how to capture that. But I at least wanted a sanity check that...
Yeah, I think the only substantive comments that I've got in the text
that you have is I really do think that it's not that relevant to give such prominence to the opinions about .com and various other TLDs, because I think it's not strictly relevant to who is, and it's also quite a huge statement to be based on a relatively small sample, particularly in the qualitative stuff. And I just think that it will create a sideshow.
That it can distract people?
It can distract from the message, because a lot of other TLD managers there will go, you know, they
have their own research showing
a little
different.
I don't have any heartache over that, Emily, and I appreciate you explaining it, because when I saw your comment, I didn't actually understand your comment. So.
Okay.
Sorry, not to make it clearer. Kathy, did you have your hand up there? Sorry, coming off mute. Yeah, I had a question. I had a question about people winding up at who is... Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I thought, based on some of the things that we talked about, people found, you know, validated the identity or the owner of the web page from other sources as well, and often finding it on the website. I thought that there were different places that they wound up.
One source of registrant information is websites, which are legitimate websites, who are following privacy laws, and they are actually disclosing on their website content their contact details. And so the survey did show that people look there first. And then it's when they don't find it on the website content that then they tend to go to search engines. And then they're not going to know the term who is, and they're not going to know a particular website to go to. So that they tend to go to search engines and put in like short phrases about, you know, domain or URL owner, or, you know, different information that they've been able to pull off the website itself that they're researching. But then, I've even tested it myself after watching them in those videos, And when I tested all different phrases and everything, similar things happened. Every search, every page of search results will typically have about half the results will be different WHOIS pages.
But let me ask, the study, just so we don't go too far beyond the study, the study was about the Coca-Cola Company.com, right? That was the one that they were searching.
We struggled to figure out something that would be neutral, that wouldn't be a government, that wouldn't be, you know, whatever, that would be global. And we picked that website because it was legitimate, and we could determine whether or not they actually found the registrant information. And I mean, that's what we were really measuring there, is can they find the registrant information? Because the domain manager for Coca-Cola, those contact details are published. It does require going through both a SIN and thick WHOIS. You've got to go to the registry, you get CSC, and then you go to the registrar, and you get the actual Coca-Cola contact.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we had to have some way of testing. Can somebody actually look up a domain name registrant and locate and find it?
But given the example that we used, which was a legitimate site, I just wanted to share a bit of reluctance about going too far in terms of extrapolating that to, quote-unquote, an illegitimate site, because it doesn't sound like we studied that.
Well, that's a good point, Kathy, because the fraudulent site that was studied was in the qualitative stage with the in-person interviews. So that gardening website that the people, you know, looked at, and interacted with, that was a known fraud website. And so that's why the researchers had them look at it and say, you know, does this look like a legitimate site to you? Most of them said yes. And it was only after they were given more information that they, you know, were kind of like, uh-oh. And then the research team said, okay, now we've concluded something's wrong with this company. And how would you, you know, research this to find out who's behind the website and who's controlling it? And so then they had the task to look it up. So the qualitative phase worked with a fraudulent one. The quantitative one worked with a legitimate one.
But the qualitative stage was doing the groundwork for doing the quantitative study.
Yes, and this was one of the things that, you know, I had gathered input from the review team about what to use, but in order to measure whether or not people can look up the domain registrant information, if we use the fraudulent one, then it's not available, you know, it's not there. So I think that was the challenge there, and I would not pretend to be an expert myself on how this research is done.
I think it's great, and I think we have a lot coming out of the qualitative study in terms of findability. I mean, a lot of really, you know, big key recommendations coming out of just what we saw in Marina Del Rey. But sorry to interrupt, but I think we have to be careful of the findings on this one and hone fairly close to them.
Yes. In fact, what I've been trying to keep in mind is that the same way we've solicited input from the ICANN constituencies is that we have to use some judgment in, you know, even in what we collect from the ICANN community and how we interpret it and how we organize it and how we assimilate it into conclusions. I'm trying to keep that in mind with this consumer research study, that I don't think we have to take the study results just at face value. We can't disregard them, but we have to make some judgments about them as well.
Okay, can we think about a way forward? Lynn, you're going to have another look at the draft. Thank you for that.
Yes, and Seth has been, and Susan, again, have been working with me. And Susan, since you're not going to be available for a few days. I'll press on with Seth, and then we'll pick back up with you at the beginning of next week.
Perfect.
That's terrific. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And,
I think that's been a useful discussion, Kathy. Thank you for raising those points. I think it's always important not to over-conclude from qualitative research, but personally, I found the qualitative study actually more compelling than the quantitative, if I'm honest. I would really love it if we could somehow publish one or so of the videos or have some way of showing it to people when we come to present our study, because I just think people who are so inside this community and this industry would be incredulous at how difficult the uninitiated find locating the simplest material. So
let me, Emily, I would be happy to contact User Insight and see if we could arrange that.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. And we can keep on working on this. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Is there any other business that people would like to raise?
Okay. Well, with that, I think we all have an awful lot to do by next Wednesday, but I remain very confident that we're going to get there. I think this is a great shape. I'm going to continue to participate in editing and commenting, and thank you very much, everybody, for sharing early drafts with me. I'm really happy to do that. Sharon, if I could ask you to read through the entire clean thing and see if you can make any sense of it.
Absolutely.
What's missing and what doesn't flow and what doesn't follow through.
Emily, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Can I share this with our international law enforcement colleagues before next Wednesday?
It's on the... Does anyone have any objections to that?
No.
I certainly don't.
Yeah, no. I don't have any.
Very, very happy for you to do that, Sharon.
Okay, will do.
Okay, and so a few more days left, people. Happy Thanksgiving to the US colleagues. And really, really well done. Let's just keep up the momentum for a few more days and we're going to get there. Okay. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you too, Emily.
Thanks. Thanks.
Happy
Thanksgiving. Bye.
Bye, all.